You are listening to Mike Seminary and Friends,
a Q1 Network production.
If you have dreams or you're wondering how to make a bigger impact in this world, you're home. Welcome to Mike Seminary and Friends. I'm Deb, Mike's wife. I suggested this idea as a way to keep him busy and out of my way after he retired. So far, it's working. Thanks for listening. It's time for Mike Seminary and Friends.
Howdy. Welcome to Mike Seminary and Friends, the place where we strive to make a difference, a positive difference, move the needle, and provide you something of value. Heck, I just call that we're sharing good stuff. I'm your host, Mike Seminary, and I'm so glad you've joined us. Thank you for listening and providing comments. I appreciate and value your comments and your suggestions for guests. Again, please feel free to comment and suggest guests by going to MikeSeminary.com or on Facebook at Mike Seminary and Friends. My theme music is from my good friend David Hansen. That particular song is called Continental Drift. You can find that and others at iTunes under Serotonin Waters, Moon.Soup, and David Hansen Volume 1, and on Spotify under Serotonin Waters and Moon.Soup. And by the way, he has a lot of great new music coming. Well, it's such a treat having my friend and founder of Pretty Loaded, Beth Warford, as my guest today. Beth, welcome to Mike Seminary and Friends. How are you?
Thank you, Mike. I'm so excited to be here.
It's great to see you. How's life, by the way?
Doing well. The family's doing well. Business is going well.
So tell our listeners a little bit about Pretty Loaded.
So I started Pretty Loaded in 2014. And the reason I started it is because I was almost assaulted with my two daughters. It was actually a Saturday at 10 in the morning in public. That incident changed my life. And so I started to look into self-defense and I found martial arts and I found guns, nothing else. And I started to look at criminals and research done on criminals. And I found so many fascinating things that I thought, this is a proactive preventative training. This is what the world needs. And so that's why I launched Pretty Loaded.
When I've spent time at your website, which I really enjoyed, by the way, I listened to your video. And one of the things you said, and it's why I'm calling this, you are your first responder. You talked about, in the event of, I'm paraphrasing, of an assault, you have seconds, but help might be minutes away.
Absolutely. The average encounter is over 9 seconds, and the police department is usually 10 to 15 minutes away, and that varies wherever you live. But the thing that really hit me was that you have to protect yourself. You have to be in charge of your life because seconds count. And the police won't be there. They'll help you if they're there, but if they're not there, you have to take care of yourself.
I should let listeners know that, and we'll get into this discussion, don't be mistaken that what we're going to talk about today is fighting necessarily. We're going to be talking about great ways to protect yourself by first being really aware of your situation and your surroundings, which is key. Many times you can avoid being in a situation that is dangerous or touchy just by really paying attention. So I've heard, back to what we were just talking about, a phrase that is, I don't know that it's used publicly a lot, but it's called yo-yo time. Explain to the listeners what yo-yo time is.
Basically, you're on your own. And so you need to be aware of your surroundings. You know, we talk about situational awareness. And so you can't be looking down in your phone. You can't be distracted. And one of the things I really teach is that opportunistic criminals really go for the weakest looking target. There was actually a study done in 1984 by Grayson and Stein. And when I found this study, it was absolutely fascinating. So Grayson and Stein took thousands of criminals and they showed a video of people walking in New York. And they said, now pick out who you would attack in that crowd. And in less than 7 seconds, all the criminals picked out the same people. It was not based on their race or their gender or anything like that. It was based on how they walked, how they carried themselves. Little or no eye contact, looking down, distracted, looking at their phone, you know, just not paying attention. And so when I saw that and I started to read more studies on who criminals go for, I started to bring that into my training and teach people that you can change your body language and not be a target.
So what you just said, here's what I heard actually. And we'll talk a little bit about situational awareness later on in our interview. That's what the predators are doing. They're paying attention in reverse. They're monitoring who isn't at all aware of their own situation, is what you just said.
Yes. And actually, I teach my students to profile people, not on culture, not on race, not on gender, but profile on what the person is doing. Is the person loitering? You know, how many good people have time to just hang out and look around? And you will know who the predators are because they're not looking at their phone. They're watching you. Mm-hmm. They're looking for the easiest victim. And so predators have a strategy. The first thing is they target you. Are you distracted and weak looking? You know, humans are just like animals. Animals go after the weakest target. So they target you based on how you are walking and how you are looking. If you see somebody that makes you nervous, I don't want you to divert your eyes. I want you to look them straight in their eyes and with your eyes basically say, I see you, I know who you are. And this actually sends a subconscious signal to the criminal that you're a fighter, and they do not want a fighter. Even Ted Bundy talked about that. So the next thing they do is they get into position. They try to get close enough to you. The third thing they do is test or interview you. They ask you a simple question. Hey, can I get the time of day? Can I get directions? You know, and then the fourth thing, if you are compliant, if you answer their question, they'll either rob from you or do something else, the assault.
So in your video, you indicated that after your encounter and a family member helped prevent something, is what we can assume from the video, you talked about how you started spending time investing in researching predators. How did you do that? How long did it take you to do that before you decided, I need to do something proactive to help people?
So I started doing that. I would get up at 4 a.m. I had 4 kids under the age of 8. So I'd wake up early at 4 a.m. and I read every single book that I could. I listened to audiobooks. I looked online at all the studies. And I was so blown away with it. I tried to give the business to my nanny because I thought I didn't have time to do it. And she said, Beth, I don't know how to build a business. And I said, well, I don't either. But it just, something came over me. And actually, a young lady named Drew Shadeen kind of stuck in my mind. She was taken from a mall parking lot at 4 p.m. She was abducted by a former sex offender and was murdered. And I was in my 20s when that happened. And I remember people searching for her. And that just really struck me because she was looking at her phone. She was talking to her boyfriend. Back then, they didn't have the training of what to do if somebody comes up to you with a gun or a knife. You don't go with them. But back then, they didn't have that training. And I thought, this is training where I could save lives. This is preventative, proactive training. And so something came over me, and I just went head on at it.
Well, we're going to use that as a segue, and then we'll come back to the business of Pretty Loaded. Drew Shadeen. Every time I see a particular video which features our daughter, I think of Drew Shadeen and I think of all of the other women that have faced sometime tragic death situations. Our daughter is in that video, which is probably very similar to what happened to Drew Shadeen. I just watched it again yesterday. Every single time, Beth, it chokes me up. I get fearful, particularly as I'm watching her in the trunk trying to get out. How many times has that video, to your best recollection, been viewed?
Over hundreds of millions of times. The first week it went out on Facebook, it took off. I had so many people call. I had people calling me from Hollywood. I had people calling from all over. But you know what the number one call was? The private investigator that figured out who murdered Drew Shadeen, he watched that video. And all he could think of was Drew Shadeen. And he actually saw the video on her birthday, and he contacted me. And I made that video because of Drew Shadeen. And I knew that I needed to influence people. You need to scare them slightly, but you need to teach them what to do so they're never in that situation. And I would say I have tons of mothers and fathers reaching out saying, thank you. I try to tell my children to be careful and be safe. They don't listen to me, but I show them this video and they listen.
The video can be found on Pretty Loaded, P-R-E-T-T-Y, Loaded, LOADED.org, in addition to a lot of very valuable information and other videos, by the way. So now let's start talking about the business of Pretty Loaded and where it is today versus when you started in 2014. For the record, I've known Beth and her family, her husband, and other members for some time. I'm not just a fan. I've participated in some forms of training we may or may not talk about today. So I'm a believer in what she does. I'm all in when it comes to Pretty Loaded. So right on the front page, you have strong, aware, confident. Why did you select those three words to put on your website to invite us as we go there to learn about your business?
Because I want people to feel strong, aware, and confident. It is not healthy to be fearful. I go back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs pyramid, and the bottom level is water, food, and shelter. The next level is safety and security. And then you keep going up into self-actualization. And only 5% of the world, they claim, make it to self-actualization. And so if you don't feel safe and secure in the second level, you will never make it up to the top to be your best self. I was actually afraid most of my life when I was 8 years old. My best friend's mother was murdered in the house behind ours. And this was in small town North Dakota. And I started sleeping in my closet. I mean, the murderer went on to kill three other people. And my family never talked about it. And I remember going into the crime scene and seeing blood on the carpet. I remember my friend telling me how his mom begged for her life. She was shot in the head. He was hiding in the closet. So I started to be very fearful at the age of 8, started sleeping in the closet. Even through college, I was afraid. I had a lot of close encounters where people would pick me out because I would divert my eyes. I had fearful energy. And so when I started to learn about how to truly protect yourself, I became very empowered, strong, aware, and confident. And I'm a different person. I'm not afraid anymore.
So you launched this business after doing lots of research, had more than one personal experience in your life where you decided, I don't want to be fearful anymore. I want to be in a better position. I want to be better prepared to protect my family. When you decided to launch the business, which is totally different today, now you do a lot of you have people all over the globe that frankly are customers one way or another. But that wasn't what you intended when you first started, right?
Right. So I started at Scheels Sporting Goods. Thank you, Scheels, for letting me have that room for free. And I had to basically beg my friends and family to come to my classes. And actually, Deb, your wife, came. I mean, she was just an empowered woman. She, you know, it was impressive. The people that showed up are really kind of impressive because most people, 80% of people that take self-defense training have been assaulted or had something happen to them. So it was very difficult to start because I had a fear of public speaking, like you can't believe. And I have some very funny stories with that. But I had to get over a lot of self-limiting beliefs. I didn't know how to run a website. I didn't even have social media at all. So I started with small classes, and then certain people would come in and they just learned so much from me that all of a sudden they would tell their husband or they had a corporate job. And then I would get picked up for wellness training. And also I was a keynote speaker for a national convention here in North Dakota, and all the people were from all over the nation, and they kept reaching out, emailing me saying, where can I get this training? And I said, there isn't training like this. I developed this. I've created this course. So I knew I needed to start online training. And that's when I started that in 2014. And then since then, it's just really blown up.
But you don't do it just online, right?
I still present, yes. Yep. So we do a lot of wellness corporate training. And the things I like to say to corporations, you know, everybody knows they need to eat healthy. Everybody knows that sitting is the new smoking, you know. And everyone knows all those things about health. And so, but people don't know how to protect themselves. They don't have that preventative, proactive mindset. And that's what we teach.
I'm going to go off the rails here just for a second. I just feel compelled to say something. We're living in a time where certain groups of people are offended about the prospect of people that are trained well, that want to protect themselves and have a legal right to carry a firearm. And a lot of them are trained, by the way. Yes, there are people that go and buy a gun and they don't do the industry or your industry of training justice. But where I want to go with this is there have always been and there always will be people that are not good people, and they have intentions sometimes to do the worst imaginable things to another human being. There are also people that struggle mightily with mental illness. There are also people that come from the most desperate situations, and sometimes desperate people resort to desperate things, sometimes just for survival. So I would encourage people that are listening that have sensitivities about individuals that seek ways to better protect themselves and their families, seek organizations and companies like Beth's Pretty Loaded. Let them do that, because to go back to what we said in the very beginning, we are all our own first responder. Almost everywhere in this country, the time it takes, once you notify a law enforcement professional through whatever means you're using, it takes 5 to 9 minutes for them to get there. That's a long time. So I needed to say that because I believe in what you do. I'm also a customer and a fan. So let me ask this question. During what we're still going through, COVID, pandemic, what happened to online training and interest? And by the way, also factor in what's happened across the country with so much disruption. What happened to your business the last year or so?
Well, obviously we didn't do any live events because we weren't allowed to, but I sold a lot of online training. So there was a lot of online training, a lot of Zoom interest, you know, Zoom presentations. And I think, you know, when I talked about earlier, usually 80% of people have been assaulted. It's kind of changed now because people are seeing the increase in crime across the country, and people are kind of waking up and they're realizing that they need this training. So there are more people that are interested. And I always feel it's better to have the skills and not need them than need the skills than not have them. I always say, what price would you pay to know how to respond to a certain situation? Because with the way you respond matters whether they're going to assault you or rob you or not.
When you're contacted by a corporate client from anywhere in the country, who typically inside of that corporation is making the initial contact to you?
Usually the security directors. So I just sold to a multi-billion dollar corporation in Mexico. So they're the security director of the whole country is using my training, which is very exciting. So we had to translate that into Spanish. But it's usually security directors and then learning development directors reach out to me, and sometimes wellness coordinators.
I got to make sure I heard that right. The security director for the entire country in terms of the company that's in the country or the country of Mexico?
He's the security for the corporation of the entire country. Yeah. So it's usually security directors. And one of the security directors that reached out to me that is using our trainings was from the U.S. court system. And I have a lot of hospital security directors. But what they say to me is they say, Beth, I know this information, but I can't take it down like you do. So I make it real simple. I like to say dumbed down, even though it's not dumbed down, but I've taken what the Secret Service uses and all the other, you know, security departments, and I've made it simple. So a mother who has no background in law enforcement or military can pick this stuff up and they can use it immediately.
So this company or any of your other corporate clients, after they make contact with you and you make arrangements to have the online training, what are some of the others? How do they do that internally with or without you? Does that make sense?
I have a platform. So they usually buy the training from me, and I either give them codes and they can view it on the platform, or I have SCORM training. So I've developed a program that can be run in a learning management system. So then they buy the whole SCORM platform for me and they usually license it for a year.
You have team members or partners that you display on your website and very diverse backgrounds. And literally, they're not just all over the country. You have one over in Europe or something, if I'm not mistaken.
In Germany.
Yeah. How did you find or did they find you? How did you find
me? They find me.
Okay.
Yeah. So usually they buy the training, take the training. He was a security director as well. And he reached out to me and he said, Beth, we don't have anything like that over here. And he said, you should see the United Nations training. It's nothing compared to this. And he wanted to know if he could meet me in America and train him in. So that's what we did.
So in 2014, you had this encounter that compelled you to say to yourself, I have to do something. You did research, couldn't find the type of delivery system or training that you had in your mind available. You created Pretty Loaded. You kept on training yourself. Then you found partners, or they found you. And now you're literally, you have clients all over the globe.
Right.
What's next?
I don't know. I realized that I needed to take on affiliates because I do have four girls that are younger and I don't want to travel, especially what's going on right now. And I know that Pretty Loaded will continue to grow as I have people in different states, you know, presenting to corporations and just to schools. And so I love creating videos. I think you can influence people with videos and really change the way they feel. So I think I'm going to keep doing that. I've also thought about starting a business with how to start a corporation and be a speaker. Like, how do you how do you create a presentation that is effective, and how do you, you know, get paid really good money to do something that you love? So that's kind of my next thing that I might do.
I'm going to go back to the video for a second. By the way, do you play tennis anymore?
Yeah, I do.
Prettyloaded.org. I'm just going to talk to male listeners for a second. If you have a daughter or a wife, you should watch that video of our daughter. You can't miss it. You just can't miss this video. There's the screenshot is of a young girl, that's our daughter, and there's a guy behind her. And that is somewhat of a replication of what happened to Drew Shadeen. These kind of things happen all of the time. You should watch that video and then decide for yourself if you're not trained in some form of situational awareness or protection. Ask yourself, should I, for the sake of my loved ones? You should watch that video. It is very, very compelling. Let's talk about some of your modules. And I want to start with number two, you are the first responder.
Right. So basically just showing how quickly things happen and that you need to be in charge. You need to respond for yourself. And the thing that why training is so important is that if you do not have the mindset of what you would do, the what ifs, how to respond to certain things, most people freeze. And guess what? I froze in that encounter. And that's what changed my life, because I had my two daughters there. It could have gone terribly wrong. And so even someone like me that had been carrying concealed carry for 20 years at the time, I was a pediatric ICU nurse in children's hospitals in two very large cities, very dangerous surroundings. And so I just knew, you know, that I needed to create this.
Do you get feedback from people that visit the website or your corporate clients about that particular module, for example, and then videos? What kind of feedback do you get?
They're shocked. They think to themselves that if something happens, they'll always call the police. But sometimes you can't go there until you go there in your mind, you know? And sometimes it's after the fact that they realize that they do need to be their own first responder. So, and most of the time, you know, we get compliments like, I can't thank you enough for this training. Now that you've presented it this way, I see it. It's so clear.
I want to take the listeners, you're probably going to get tired of me, all of you, and I apologize for continuing to reference this video and then Drew Shadeen. If I remember this correctly, and it happened 20 years ago, whatever it was, somewhere in that area, she was coming out of the Columbia Mall in Grand Forks during the day. And during the day, she had two jobs, I think. She was finishing that job. And later in the day, she was supposed to show up to her second job. She was coming out of the mall. I believe she was on the phone with her boyfriend. And all of a sudden, the boyfriend, hears something. Don't remember exactly.
It's okay, okay, okay.
Okay,
yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
And the next thing they know, she doesn't show up for work. And she's gone. They find her, I don't know how many days or weeks later, but she was treated in the most awful way by this person.
Right, yeah.
That's why this is so important. That every time I see particularly young girls and women totally oblivious, they're on their phone walking from point A to point B, and I've done that too.
Right.
That is when we're so vulnerable.
It is. The parking lot is a fringe area. And you would not believe the amount of people that have emailed me that have been sexually assaulted or raped in a parking lot with tons of cars around, other people walking around. I mean, it's amazing. Most people don't realize that happens. And I like to talk about, I don't know if you know about the golfer, Celia, who was, she won the Iowa District Golfing Championship, the district won, and she was golfing all alone that day. And she, somebody in a homeless shelter said he wanted to go out and rape somebody and then murder them. Well, he got a hold of her, and he did kill her. But she was about to graduate in 2 months with a mechanical engineering degree, and she was going on to the pro golf circuit. Brilliant girl. I don't know if she had any training. I don't know if she had, you know, any of this training. And that's part of why I do what I do, because I want this training in school. You know, these are real world life skills. I mean, it's great that she's a mechanical engineer. It's great that she was an awesome golfer. But sometimes I think if she had some of my training, if she had some of my tips, could she have fought back or ran or done something? That's why I do what I do, because you see those stories, and that's somebody's daughter.
To remind listeners, thank you for saying that, Beth. This is not about confronting. This is not about fighting. Those are the last resorts. This is about awareness, confidence, posture, sending the message that I'm the wrong target.
Absolutely. The best fight is the one you are never in. And if you, self-defense is over 90% mindset, understanding criminal tactics, how they operate, reading body language. Body language is 90% of all communication. You can see the pre-attack indicators before somebody will assault you. The staring is huge. That's a huge giveaway. So if you know these things, most of the time you can transition to Nike, is what we say, and get out of there. And then not even be in a confrontation, because I don't care who you are. Nobody wants to be in a physical fight. Nobody wants to shoot somebody if you can help it. So that's what our training is. We do teach, though, what type of, you know, tools you can carry, how you can defend yourself if you cannot get away. We do teach that. We do teach how to use some Krav Maga moves to physically fight so you can just, you know, leave. But our big thing is the best fight is the one you're never in.
Right. So before we move on to something else, in the event a confrontation cannot be avoided, has it been your experience based on research that the ability to use some tactic, whatever it is, and not necessarily to harm someone, but to disrupt what they're trying to do, is that oftentimes that 1 or 2, 3 seconds, because you just used something they didn't know that you probably could do, is that oftentimes the difference between tragedy and
yes,
otherwise?
There have been multiple studies on that, especially with rape. You know, if you have a device or you physically fight back, most of the time they'll leave you and they'll go on to their easier target.
I just thought of this question. And as you well know, thinking isn't my strength. Just ask my wife, Deb. So do you have customers, clients, that in addition to taking the training and implementing it, do they also then take additional steps to the types of security they use in their corporation, in their plants, on their grounds, if they haven't already taken it to a level where it's that sophisticated? Are some of them doing that as well?
They do. Yep. They absolutely do. So they figure out, you know, how to de-escalate a situation. We talk about that. If somebody comes in and is scaring the secretary, often we have a doorbell or something installed. So when they hear this doorbell, usually two staff members come to the front to try to de-escalate things before things happen. But obviously security cameras, locked doors, restrooms. Nobody can use restrooms from outside. There's just some real basic things. Active shooters, you can buy an industrial door jamb that you put in the middle of the door and nobody can shoot that door down or kick the door in. So we have things like that, pepper gel, you know, that sprays 25 feet. There's all sorts of non-lethal devices that we talk about. So yeah, I absolutely, teach their employees where the exits are, how to get out of the building.
How about city or county, state law enforcement departments or divisions? Do you do any work with any of them?
Yes. So I was actually hired to speak at the Florida Crime Prevention. It's the largest crime prevention in the nation. And they use my training.
How did they find out about you?
They found me through my videos, probably Morgan's video, the trunk video. And then because we do have so many views on YouTube, Pretty Loaded comes up pretty high when you're looking at safety training. But the reason, again, they really like my training is they know all this training, but it's so hard for them to teach it the way I do to the public.
The other module, and you addressed some of this, is number three, situational awareness skills. Now, first of all, I don't want you to give away all of your tips, but share some that you may haven't done yet, some situational awareness skills that make a difference.
Yeah, so it's basically to live in condition yellow. Don't be that target that looks like a weak, distracted sheep. And so you're not expected to be attacked today or anything like that. You're just walking confidently. You're very alert. You're very aware of your surroundings. You're watching around you. You're looking for anything that looks out of place. And now we want to make sure you're not just looking, but seeing what's going on around you. The lack of situational awareness skills is the number four cause of death. So situational awareness is not just about your personal safety as far as somebody attacking you, but it could be you tripping and falling down the stairs or and hurting yourself, or, you know, not paying attention in your car, or cars coming and, you know, going to hit you or something like that. So situational awareness is just smart in general, just to be aware.
One of your team members, I think his name is Gary, and if I recall, he has a business where he works with nannies or tutors or something.
Right.
So two questions. First of all, tell us a little bit about Gary, and then how did, and by the way, I'm not sharing anything that isn't on the website, just so people know. How did Gary find out about you?
So Gary has been following me for years. And then when I posted that I'm looking for affiliates in certain locations, he decided that he owns the College of Nannies and Sitters and Tutors in Scottsdale. And so he thought this would be perfect for him to train all of the nannies and tutors. And he also thought it would be just wonderful just to present. And he wanted to be a speaker. So he wanted to learn how to be an effective motivational speaker. So that's how I found Gary.
Because he was following you.
Yeah, he was following me.
Do you happen to know how he found out about you? Was it another video that went viral and he just happened to see it?
I think most people find me through the trunk video and then they kind of research what I do. And that's how he found me.
When you decided you were looking for affiliates, that was out of interest to spread the information and then help you with your work, right?
Right. Because I can't fly everywhere. I get inquiries all the time, you know, to go present, especially before COVID, I got inquiries all the time to fly and train people. But I decided I just didn't want to travel a lot. I want to just develop more content. And so I need more people that care about it, like I care about it and want to make a difference.
What do your daughters think of what you're doing?
I think they're proud of me. Yeah. I think they're very proud of me. I think it's important, you know, especially a parent is the one that needs to set the example for their daughters or their sons about safety. And you have to do it in a certain way. I do have different guides for different ages. You know, you don't want to terrify children, but you need to tell them that there are bad people out there. You know, you don't want to tell them all the horrific things, but you need to give them these skills. Cause like I talked about, this is a life skill. There are bad people out there, unfortunately. And the opportunistic predators that come out when things happen, like terrible storms or, you know, something where they can easily go rob, or if they're not going to get caught, that goes up to like 20%.
You have a module called Traveling Tips. And just the other day, I interviewed our oldest daughter, Lindsay. She's the real experiential child. We talked at great length about her, I think it was almost 7 months, traveling abroad solo.
Wow.
And she was, part of me was saying, this is my daughter. She has a lot of, she has big marbles. Let me just put it that way. She's in a cab. I don't remember what country it is. And the cabbie is telling her, you owe me 1300, whatever the, you know, monetary system is. She said, no, I owe you 300. I did my research.
Yeah.
And he's driving past the airport.
Oh, boy.
And she ended up just fine because he ended up having food poisoning and was losing control. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
And she took her money and got out. But traveling tips, when that particular I'm sorry, I'm laughing about what my daughter shared, but I was, as I thought about it, after we ended the interview, I said, well, that, you kind of put yourself in a dangerous situation there.
Right.
But it happened. I mean, those things happen.
They do.
So some of the basic traveling tips that you share through your website and your training, what are they?
So I have an Uber taxi safety video. Basically, you know, you're going to need to take a taxi or Uber when you're traveling. So sit directly behind the driver because you're in a domineering, controlling spot there. The driver can't grab you. A lot of people sit next to the driver, which drives me nuts because if they had a gun or something, they could just grab you. Sitting in the passenger seat, I'm sorry, in the back seat behind the passenger seat is not a good spot either. So it's more of a domineering spot to take. Always put the luggage with you because, for instance, if she needed to, you know, jump out, she has her luggage with her versus in the trunk. So I really talk about the fringe areas. Fringe areas are where most criminals operate. These are restrooms, parking lots, parking garages. Parking garages are probably the worst for stranger rapes because there aren't cameras in the parking garages, for most of them, and they're dark. And so you just need to be aware. In and out of your car is a big risk. You just need to be aware. You can't dress, you know, like a tourist. We teach them to be the gray man or the gray woman. So you need to blend into your surroundings. If you're in New York, you need to walk like New Yorkers do because there are professional pickpocketers out there that know exactly who the tourists are. You can't have, you know, don't take a brochure from somebody. That's a huge tactic to steal something from you. Don't have your phone out. Phones are getting ripped off all the time. Basically, be aware. Have strong eye contact. When you're in a hotel, we like to, if you're traveling alone, always ask for two keys. So it looks like somebody is with you. When you leave your hotel room, put the do not disturb on the door and turn on your TV really loud because you don't know if the people cleaning the room are going to be stealing from you or not. But just have copies of your driver's license, passports, everything in a different location in case, you know, you are robbed. So basically it's blending in, not looking like a tourist and being aware.
That's great information. Did you learn that during your research or through your research, did you learn that I have to create some of these so there's some value here?
Yeah, I've learned a lot of this through research. Just the thing about me is I bore myself if I go out and give a presentation, I just want to learn more and more and more. And so I really study so many things. I talk about intuition quite a bit in our training as well. And so I kind of go out there even into the science of things because humans are 99.999% matter. I'm sorry, energy. We're mostly energy. We're very little matter. So you can pick up on somebody's fearful energy, on their good energy, or on their bad energy. And so I really talk about that as well in the training and how it's important not to have fearful energy because people can pick that up.
I started learning how to protect myself back in the mid-70s. So I have a fairly unique background in how to take care of myself and people with me. Even back then, I don't remember who shared this with me. When you're in like an airport or wherever there are public restrooms, one of the first things I do is I listen first. Is there anybody in there? Before I, you know, in a busy airport, that's kind of hard to do because there's a lot of people in there.
Yep.
And the busier, the better, but you still have to really pay attention. If it's a situation where it's not very busy, I try to find out right away if there's somebody in the stall. I look for feet and then I listen.
Right.
I do that all of the time.
Smart.
I prefer not to use the rest areas, the rest stops. I prefer not to use
them. That's absolutely in my training.
It can happen, you know, sometimes because you got to go to the bathroom, right?
Right.
I would much prefer going to the next city and going into the convenience store gas station.
Exactly. Yep.
So that's good information. I want to talk a little bit about my experience with you and some of your training. And I don't want to reveal too much. But about 3 years ago, I think it was, because we have some history in terms of your guidance with me and other family members.
Yep.
You brought in a very, very well-trained individual. I can't remember. I think it was a former SEAL maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And you took the group, I wasn't the only one, through 2 days of really intense, I'll call it tactical training. And it was primarily about how to respond, how to be prepared. And it was grueling. It was hot. We were outside most of the time. That was one of the most powerful training experiences I've ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important to stress yourself. And, you know, you remember things better when you stress yourself. Also, you will revert to your lowest level of training when something stressful happens to you. So it's very imperative that you take that kind of training.
One of the reasons I enjoyed it is when I would go to that location where we had the training.
Yep.
Prior to that, many times prior to that, and many times since, I get into a routine, I suppose, like most people, and you're doing what's really comfortable. Those 2 days took me out of my comfort zone, which, in my opinion, really helped me fine-tune some of the skills I had already been taught because of the conditions that he was putting us through.
Right. And, you know, Mike, I don't know if most people probably know this, but you're a public figure. And what comes with a public figure is you have a lot of people love you, but you do have some haters.
Yes, I do.
And so, so you had, you know, you have to talk about that as well with people that are famous or public figures. You know, they have those haters that you kind of have to watch your back a little bit more than most people do.
Now, for the record, I'm not a public figure anymore, even though once you've done
you
that, you kind of are, right? I try not to be very public. I try to be really, really low key. and so forth. So I'm going to go back to Gary for a second. So he trains nannies.
Right.
And they have a huge responsibility.
Right.
Did he let his client base know, I'm going to take my responsibility to another level? Do you know if he did that?
I believe he did. Yeah. I believe he did. He's actually thinking about starting a podcast with nannies and sitters.
That's a great idea.
You know, I mean, think about it. When we hired our nanny, I took her to a whole new level of training. She had to be skilled because for me, it's about risk mitigation, right? If I'm not going to let something happen to my children, they're my most prized asset. So I wanted to make sure that she knew how to protect my children. And that's kind of what Gary is doing. He offers, you know, he hires these nannies and sitters for families, but he wants to make sure that they're prepared and they know how to protect those children.
When you started, as you evolved your business, you know, because I remember, in fact, you have a national day named after what you
did. So September 26th is the National Situational Awareness Day. Thank you to the National Day Calendar for approving us because it's very hard to get approved.
I was there that day.
Yep. You were there. So it's exciting. And 5 years ago, I believe, I started the day. And I thought situational awareness was a term that most law enforcement and military know, but the average person doesn't know about it. And that's why I started the day.
Where I was going to go with that question is you started out with a very small team, all people I knew, by the way.
Right.
Now your team through affiliates is different. And I don't know that I know any of them. I'm not sure, but I'd have to look. Your decision to bring on affiliates took your business to a different level in many regards. How did you screen them when somebody had an interest? How did you do that?
Basically, they had to fill out a long submission form, and then I did a background check, and then I spoke with them on the phone multiple times. And I want them to be, they need to be knowledgeable. They need to have a passion to really help people. And they also have to have a drive. You know, we have a buy-in, and a lot of people have thought the buy-in seems to be pretty high. But when you're presenting, you know, to corporations and the public, you can make really good money presenting. And so it's kind of a win-win. You make good money and you do the world a great favor.
And it's, even though they're affiliates and somewhat independent of Preloaded, it's still a reflection of your brand.
Right. And they need to use my PowerPoint. They need to use all of our folders, all of our material. They need to follow pretty much everything that we have. They can put their own story into it because interestingly enough, a few of them did have some very interesting stories of things that happened to them that got them into the self-protection mm-hmm. business.
Well, like yesterday that after Deb told me about her interest in what you were doing, then I met you.
Right.
And I don't remember. It was the basement. Was it at Shields? I don't even remember where it was. And so we have this now 7-year relationship. And for the record, so listeners know that I knew other members of the family before I met.
Yep.
Got to be careful how you say I knew my other members of the family. So before I met Beth, and I'm just so intrigued with what you've done. And you've done an amazing thing, Beth. You really have.
Thank you.
You really have. So start giving people some information about best way to get information from you, what they should be looking for, and then why Preloaded, which is module number one.
Okay. Yeah. So they can reach me through my email, empowered@prettyloaded.org. And our website is prettyloaded.org. And why Preloaded? Because we're different. We're preventative and proactive. And like I said, the best fight is the one you're not in. We teach you body language. We teach you pre-attack body indicators. We teach you criminal tactics that most criminals use. We teach you how to get out of the situation, what some of the common things are, some of the common areas for attacks and assaults. So we're very preventative and proactive, and we're kind of the whole thing. We actually teach you how to fight if you have to fight, and teach you how to use the tools if you need to use the tools. But those are the last resort. A lot of the affiliates who have reached out to me have said, you know, I'm looking at these other programs, but they pretty much teach you, okay, if this person hits you here, this is how you respond, you know, or this is how you shoot your gun. But what about not having to do that? What about keeping that as last resort? So that's why Preloaded.
Deb encouraged me to launch this podcast based on a book that's written but not published. And I looked back at the chapters of why, other than my interest in what you're doing, Beth, and your incredible organization, how this fits into the chapters. One was, chapter is discipline. Discipline with regards to taking responsibility for your own safety, the safety of others, other loved ones, is very, very important. And this is the kind of program that you should check out, in my opinion. And also a chapter, leaders are learners. And one of the things that all good leaders try to learn is to how to better take care of themselves. And much of that is based on how they observe the situations and conditions around them. And then it's one of the chapters is about goals, and one of the goals with regards to personal health and being a better person. I think these address perfectly what you do. So now I'm going to get to the magic wand questions. I've asked them of everybody except one, and we were kind of interrupted, so I'm going to bring him back on so I can, just, if no other reason, ask him those questions. So the magic wand, you can wave it over the head of people contemplating pursuing some form of personal protection. What's the one thing you want them to know?
That your life is your dream, and don't let somebody turn it into a nightmare.
And then another group of people. For those that have experienced or know someone that has experienced some form of violation or personal threat, what's the one thing you want them to know?
The people who have been assaulted.
Or they know somebody that has.
Right. So I take him back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs again. Even if you were at the top with self-actualization, if something has happened to you, you go back to that second level, safety and security, and you have to get through that. You have to train yourself how to be confident and how to be strong and how to not be fearful. So you have to climb out of that again.
In a minute, I'm going to come back to something, Beth, about somewhat of a more personal thing where you had some real critics, and we had a conversation once. But first, I want to thank Anna DeVere. Anna is the president of Q1 Network, and Anna signed off on this project, and she oversees its progress. Ashley Harris. Ashley helped with the website development. Bo Hastings. Bo set up the web hosting, DNS, and email. And by the way, all those things I just mentioned, I wouldn't know how to do any of them. And then Marlo Anderson. Marlo is the National Day Calendar creator guy. He's part of the Q1 Network. Isn't he amazing?
Yeah, he is.
And we're actually in his studio. I do some of my podcasts from mine in my man cave, and I really like doing them for here because of the quality of the studio here. And he just a great, great guy. And he works with all those people I just mentioned. And then my wife, Deb. You know, Deb orchestrates everything for me. I got nothing without her. She's a great partner and friend and wife, and I'm just so darn lucky. So this episode, and we're probably going to call it You Are the First Responder, it's in the can. It's hermetically sealed, but it's one you can retrieve and should retrieve on a regular basis. And you can do that at MikeSeminary.com or on Facebook at Mike Seminary and Friends. And then it's on TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple, Spotify, Audible, Google platforms. So, Beth, I remember hearing of some challenges from critics some 6 years ago or so.
Right.
And I called you to talk about it.
Right.
Because you were really frustrated and disappointed. I'm so glad you hung in there.
Well, I was so thankful for you. I mean, I almost quit pretty loaded. And that was kind of the 3 feet from gold. Most people quit before they do it. And I had a lot of haters. I had some emails with death threats. You know, it was very difficult, but your call really helped me and helped me stay with what I was doing.
Well, thank you. But you also have great supporters in your family,
right,
both immediate and otherwise. And then you have four daughters, beautiful
right.
daughters. And just, I'm so proud of you, and what you're doing is big.
Thank you
so much. And thanks for coming in. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike, for having me.
So until we chat again, love y'all.
Post and read comments at Mike's Instagram or Facebook accounts, or of course, over at MikeSeminary.com. Thank you for listening.